Hey friends, Devin again for another episode of the Bardic Babble podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by the king of D&D TikTok, One-Shot Questers himself. One-Shot Questers has established themselves as the literal face of D&D over on TikTok through various comedic skits and sketches, and has utilized his audience there to grow an audience on YouTube as well as Twitch. In the episode, we chat with him on how he has built his community, how to make micro content, and just some of the more nuanced things that he works through during his process. As you may have heard, we're in the middle of starting a Kickstarter. It's for a deck of micro dungeons and adventures through our Press Arm One Door Dungeons. You can find routing to all of that and other shows and projects that we're working on over at the Bard's social media. That's Bard_podcast on every social media platform, including TikTok now. And without further ado, let's dive into it with One Shot Questers. All right, welcome back, listeners. Today I have Duke, or One Shot Questers, over on TikTok, YouTube. He is all across social media. He is a very busy dude. Duke, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. I am doing very, very good.
That is awesome to hear. And, you know, just going to start it out. Thank you so much for taking the time. I can only imagine churning out as much content as you do. Takes a lot of time.
It does. And it's totally fine. I don't get the opportunity to do like these podcasts sometimes, but I was finally able to find the time to do one. But yeah, the content right now, I'm creating for YouTube, Among Us, but it's Dungeons and Dragons type of a sketch at the moment. And there is a lot of just design that I have to make with it at the moment. So it's been fun. It's been a new thing, but yeah, it's all
together. Awesome. That's awesome. All right. So this is kind of a new topic for my audience. We've been talking about tabletop RPGs for about 15 episodes now. We've covered the whole gamut. Like, we've talked to live streamers. We've talked to people who make, design, create, layout, and play the games. But we haven't had the opportunity to talk to somebody who creates content specific to comedy in micro formatting. What made you decide to take D&D and TikTok and mash them together?
That's a very, very good question. So before One Shot Questers became a thing, I used to have a YouTube channel called Do Not Films, where I made a bunch of just comedy sketches and I would do live streams, and it was fun. It definitely was a learning process. It taught me everything that I needed to start a new channel and to make that channel successful. I've always wanted to be a content creator as a kid as well. When YouTube first came out and I saw Niga Higa with his How to Be Ninja and things like that, I was like, that is awesome. So many people like this. I laughed at it. I want to be someone like that. And so ever since then, I've always wanted to be a content creator. And how I got into doing D&D, my wife was the one who introduced me to it when we first started dating. I was like, hey, what's something that you are really passionate about that I shouldn't make fun of? She was like, D&D. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a little nerdy, but that's fine. And little did I know that I would become so addicted to D&D and fall in love with it so hard that I wanted to base my content around D&D. And it was kind of like a shot in the dark. But yeah, I still wanted to be a content creator, and I saw D&D as a way to get into that, and it was something I really enjoyed. And I was like, okay, let's put two and two together. The only content I'm really seeing revolving around D&D is more like sessions. I have a good background with comedy. I was in a sketch comedy group when I was in college, and I was like, I think I could do this. It's such a unique audience that I feel like I could pull everyone in. And little did I know when I decided that, boy, could I have told, if I could go back in time right now and talk to myself in 10 months when I first started the channel, and be like, hey, you're going to have like 750,000 people following you by October. I would have just been like, yeah, right. But here I am.
Surprise.
Yeah.
So when you were starting out and you were
laying all the pieces on the table and making the plans, were you still working full time when you first started everything out?
So here's what was going on. So I talked to my wife about it. And for the first little bit, when we first got married, we had a lot of money saved up. We were doing really well. She had a really good job. I had a really good job before we got married. I told her about the plan. I wanted to be a content creator. She gave me, she allowed me, bless her heart, to focus solely on doing the content. And it was, it did okay. It did okay. It didn't do great. But then when January hit, it was like, okay, I need to go find a job. And I'm in a college town. Full-time jobs are really hard to come by. And so I was only able to get a part-time job. Luckily, I was able to be hired as a maintenance dude. And I loved it, loved my boss. So it was part-time. And then right as I got that job, my TikTok started to go. And it caught fire real fast. And just every post that I put like just got caught by the algorithm. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so that was going on, and which grew my YouTube and Twitch. And I worked at that job for about 6 months. And that fifth month, I realized I was making enough money with content creation that I could quit my part-time job and solely focus on this. And it was a scary leap. It was terrifying because I was like, my fans really want to see me go full-time now. Once I announce I'm going full-time, I sure hope they still want to support me, because then if not, I got to go find a full-time job. But I announced it, and literally my fans have been fantastic. They've watched all the stuff that they can. It's been amazing. It's been really amazing.
That's awesome. There's always an interesting transition story when going from the lay life to content creation.
Yeah, yeah. It's nuts.
It is very crazy. So can you just walk us through your process when an idea pops in your head to posting it on TikTok, on YouTube, wherever the content may be going out?
So there's a lot of different things that I go through with making the content in general. So I have ADHD. If that wasn't very obvious, I bet everyone probably called I had ADHD just the way I acted. But how it usually goes is my brain is constantly moving. I never feel like my brain has a shut off mode, even when I go to sleep at night. And there's times where I'm laying in bed and my brain just will not shut off. It will just keep coming with all these ideas. And again, my wife, she's amazing. She went and got me a book to sit right next to my dresser. And so when my mind goes like that, I have like a little light that I click on. And when I have all these ideas come in my head, I just lay in bed and I start writing all these ideas down. So that's one of the ways I start the processing. Other times it's when I am like, I'm sitting down and I'm just like maybe playing some video games or something like that. And an idea will just pop into my head just right then. And then I'm like, I look at my wife. I'm like, I'm sorry, I got to go create this right now or otherwise it's going to leave. And so like I have to like run into I call this the dungeon. The room that you see right now is called the dungeon, my office. And I like coming here and I will film the TikTok because I'm like right on it, or I start filming the video. That's another process. And the other process is I will just kind of sit down and I will be like, okay, what's some content that I want to put out for the future? And what I'll do sometimes is I will just sit at my computer and I will just start writing things out, and I'll just start just creating a big list of just everything I want to create. And those are usually the process I go with creating content.
Nice. So I know the traditional way of doing TikToks is, you know, just editing on your phone. Do you do that, or do you transition to like Adobe Premiere or anything like that?
I will either use the editing process on TikTok or I'll record it on my phone and I'll do it on Premiere Pro. It's one of those two.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So how in the world did you come up with the Paladin? I mean, that's one of the more iconic characters. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen people on Twitch showing their audience. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it everywhere.
It's everywhere. So that's a funny story. I never in a million years would have thought the Paladin Oath of Throne back would have caught on with the D&D community so fast. Everyone fell in love with it the minute I posted that TikTok, and I went, what did I just do? So it was nuts because people were creating actual subclasses for it. People were sending me subclasses. I was like, holy crap. I was like, this is insane. So how it came to be is a lot of people might think that the Oath of Thronebreak Paladin came from my bard character. It actually didn't come from my bard character. There was a video that I posted. It was way back on my birthday. And it caught fire and it did super good. It was a barbarian, just like he was throwing it back and he was going nuts. And I was like, oh, everyone really liked the barbarian, that transition, just because I didn't put bard on it. It was now funny again because I threw it a different character, but it was just so much fun. And then the next one I did, I made the paladin who took the oath of throwing it back. So I was like, huh, that's funny. Because I think throwing it back was like the thing to do back then. And yeah, I posted it. And it didn't do as well as the barbarian, but then all of a sudden, it just caught fire and everyone loved it and everyone fell in love with that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I'll be straight up honest too. The paladin is my least favorite character to play because I'm constantly having to do the retakes of me doing like the arching and throwing my neck back. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how it came to be. It came from the barbarian throwing it back. And I went, huh, that's funny. And then I just transitioned to the paladin.
When you're making the content, does your wife ever just kind of give you that wayward look across the room? Like, what are you doing? Like, what's the end goal here?
Oh my gosh. So when I first started doing it, I would not let her watch my stuff when I was filming. I would not let her watch me film because I was like, this is embarrassing. I don't want you to watch me do this embarrassing stuff. And then I go and be like, oh, here's me doing the embarrassing stuff for like a million people to see type of thing. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm such a... But at first I would film my TikToks when she would be in school or at work. And then when she would come back, she would notice like the living room's a mess or our bedding, it was all thrown on the ground because I had to do something with the bed, like falling in or something like that. And she would just come and be like, what did you do? Like that was her thing. She would always just say that, or she'd walk through the door and be like, all right, what's different now type of a thing. But now I'll let her watch. I'll get her critiques and she'll tell me what else to do or if it was funny or not. And if you can see some of the TikToks, there's some where I've filmed and you can hear in the background just like why or just laughing or things like that. So she, if I'm being honest, she absolutely loves it. She loves it. She laughs and she has a good time. And I think she's just happy to be a part of it.
That's cool. I'm glad you can incorporate her into that. I know that a lot of content creators, that's one of the struggles I always run into. Now, how do you explain what you do to friends and family that don't follow your content?
Oh my gosh, that is... I'm happy I married my wife before I had to ask her father if I could marry her. Like, I was not even to that point yet. And I was like, I got a full-time job. I got things. Here we go. And he said yes. But now... he watches all my stuff and I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry. But I'll either say I'm a content creator. That's what I'll say. And to me, that's where I'm like, let's please stop the conversation there,
right,
type of a thing. I'll just say, yeah, I'm a content creator. But you'll have some of those people who are just like, oh, you're a content creator? What do you do? And I'm like, oh, I do D&D. Because I think D&D is like the cooler way to say it. And people are like, what's D&D? And then I go, oh. I make content off of Dungeons and Dragons and people are like, oh, and they kind of give me that look and they'll stop asking me. Like, the only people who know about Dungeons and Dragons or Critical Role or things like right. that, then you see the light come in their eyes. But like people who don't know, they'll just kind of nod and they'll stop asking me questions after that. Like, it's great. It's funny. I just kind of sit back and I'm like, all right, and we're done.
So what is your normal content pipeline? Like, do you do like 5 TikToks, 1 YouTube? Like, what does that normally look like on a week for you?
Yeah, yeah. So when I first did it, it was literally all focused on TikTok. Everything was focused on TikTok because I'm glad I did it. Like, it was a super big blessing because I was able to just keep bringing a lot of people from there. And I have a ton of fans now. And those fans transitioned to go into YouTube and Twitch, and now TikTok, YouTube, and Twitch all grow on their own now, which is absolutely amazing. It's like, that's one of the big things you want as a content creator, is you want all of your content to grow by themselves, and also those platforms to advertise to others. So it's awesome. It's great. But how it usually goes, I don't really have a set schedule per se. The schedule I have at the moment is try to get at least one comedy video out every Saturday. And that's been going super well. And we keep growing from there. I will do more Twitch than anything. I will stream on Twitch on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then, sadly, I know TikTok was the thing I got started on, but Twitch and YouTube are more of a, they're a better platform to grow on, because they allow you to be able to be more sustainable with income. And so I've been focusing my time a little bit more on that. And right now it's, I will make a TikTok when I find the time type of a thing, because I'm super lucky that a bunch of my other videos that have gone viral on TikTok are still pulling in views and fans and everything. So I can leave my phone for, I can leave TikTok for a few days knowing that it's still growing. And like, I'll almost, like my analytics show, I'll pull in like 2,000 new subscriber or followers each day. So it's like, okay, I'm good. Now I need to focus on everything else.
Nice. Of course, with content creation on the outside, especially when you're doing comedy, it can look very, very fun, very glitzy and glamoury, but there's always that, you know, the other side of it. Have you gotten to, or have you experienced rather, burnout with how much content that you're producing?
I would say I wouldn't be totally burned out. I would more say is I would have just a creative stump. So meaning like, I don't know what to create. Like, I'm not burned out, but my brain is just, I can't come up with anything at the moment. That's when I know, for me, when I have to take a break, even if that is becoming super stressed about like, I need to create content each day. But knowing that when I hit that point where I can't think of anything, it's okay for you to take a day break to let your mind recharge and to let yourself get healthy again mentally. Because if you keep pushing and you keep going like, oh, I can't think of anything, but I still need to get content out, even though it's not as good as I want it to be. That's where a lot of content creators will fall, because they will just start putting out crap posts and the quality is low and everything. And the fans see that. They do see that. So like, going back to what I talked about at TikTok, I will make a TikTok when I have the time now, is more of like, I will make a TikTok when I feel like it's going to be good and I have the time to put in the quality for that TikTok. Because I a lot of people follow me because I put a lot of effort into my TikToks. And if I don't put in that quality, I definitely see it. Like, I 100% see it. Like, right as I will post it, pretty much how I see it is I will get 100 likes every minute. That's how I've ranged when I know I've done a good job with the TikTok. And there'll be times where 10 minutes will go by and I'll be at 300 views and I know I didn't put much effort into it, and my audience can already tell. So it's one of those things, again, where it's like, going back to the original question, you need to have those breaks and you need to take time to relax. And if you tell your audience that, they're totally going to be fine. Like, I've never had anyone be like, no, you have to create content type of thing. It's been more like, hey, I'm going to be open and honest with you guys. I have to take today's break. Otherwise, I'm going to be burned out. And I just know if I push myself today, it's going to be worse. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's totally fine. Take your time. Like, you're doing this for free for us. So like, take your time. And so, yeah, I've just been super lucky with that. And I have not got to the point where I've just, like, taken a whole week off because I've been burnt out. I've really been able to pace myself, which I've been very blessed to do.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say it's a weird misconception. So I've worked in entertainment adjacent spaces, especially in live streaming. And everybody, content creators always have this misconception of, if I take a night off, if I take two nights off, my fans are going to hate me and they're going to leave. But they would rather see you at top form, making the content that they originally followed or subscribed or whatever have you. So
yeah, no. And something to just jump off of that. I think it's more along the lines that people get nervous about that. They're not more nervous about like losing their fans or things like that. I think it's more of how people know the algorithm. Like for YouTube, you have to keep like a steady, YouTube's algorithm likes to see videos posted on certain, like they like to see a schedule go up and then they'll start promoting your stuff. And if you lose that schedule, YouTube will kind of like hit you a little bit. And I've seen that with myself and it's not very fun, but I'll hit that low. Like I'll kind of like, I'll go up and then I'll hit that low and it'll just barely go down, but then I'll just keep climbing. But if I have the mindset, like I got to keep posting, even if though I'm burnout, you're going to see that growth, but then it's going to start leveling out and then it's going to start going down. So it's better to have those ups and then have a little down so you can keep growing up. So I would say it's more of like, they are not worried, more worried about their fans. They're more worried about their channel being lost because of the algorithm.
That's fair.
And so that's why they keep pushing themselves.
That's fair. So like every content platform has very specific algorithm hooks and requirements. What do you do to stay on top of the algorithm requirements? You know, you mentioned YouTube, the constant schedule. Like where do you normally look for that kind of stuff, and how do you stay on top of it?
That's a difficult question because the algorithm always changes. It always changes based on people's interests at the time. So for YouTube likes the schedule. They like the schedule, and you kind of have to have things. Like titles kind of have to be short and sweet to the point. Thumbnail has to look good. Your tags need to be the right tags. You also need to see what people are searching up right now. So like, right, I'm making a Among Us sketch at the moment because that's super popular. And Among Us probably is not on the same level, but definitely is on the level of Fortnite right now when it was at its prime. And it's just everyone's talking about it. So it's just knowing what people are searching and putting that aspect into your content in a way. Twitch is a little different. Twitch doesn't technically have an algorithm. They have a thing where they will promote the person who has the most viewers on their page. So like for Dungeons and Dragons, let's say I have all the right tags. I made everything that if anyone search up Dungeons and Dragons, I will be the first one to be shown. Twitch doesn't do that. Let's say I go on and people see me and I have like 50 viewers and I have everything right. And it's just, there I am. But then Critical Role will get on and they'll pull in 70,000 people watching. Twitch is going to promote them first because they have the most people watching them. And that's how Twitch does it. It will just go down the line, like who's first, who's second, who's third, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. And then you get to the very bottom who no one watches. It's a sucky process, but as a creator, I actually see how that can help bigger creators a lot. And it sucks, again, for little creators because they're like, no one's watching me because I'm not being promoted. But then there's the bigger creators where you get in that medium spot, people finally find you, and you start growing from there. And that's where I'm just like, I like it, but it can use some work. TikTok, oh my gosh, I don't even know what TikTok, man. There are times where you think you know the algorithm and then it just doesn't happen. And then there's times where you're like, oh, I'm going to throw in this video. And then all of a sudden it does extremely well. Like I posted a video where I got this evil minion character that's coming in and he's making potions. And yeah, and I posted one the other day, I think 2 days ago. And I was like, this is funny. I think it'll just be fun to do like the challenge things that people are doing, like, hey, you should do the same thing, but do it like this. And I was like, I'll try it. I did a love potion between the evil king and the minion, and that one caught fire and it has over 1 million views now. And I was like, I was not expecting that. Posted one similar to that the next day. It just didn't even get close. And so the algorithm is just, there's a lot of things I could say about TikTok and the way I feel like they should run their platform, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to say you don't know the TikTok algorithm. You don't.
Right.
You don't know it. No one does.
That's fair. I'm going to preface my question. A lot of the times people will, when they're looking for content, if they don't catch you live on Twitch, for example, they'll go through your VODs or old content, old posts, to try and get a vibe for who you are, what you produce, and what quality level you produce. do you ever find yourself going back through and just culling posts and YouTube videos or Twitch videos if it's just not performing to the degree or the production level you expect?
Yes. I have done that mostly on TikTok. I've only really done that on TikTok. Like if I post something and I'm like, this is funny. And then like 20 minutes go by and only 300 likes. And I'm just like, and delete type of a thing. I'll do that multiple times. So many fans have seen that happen where I'm just like, I do it because my thing is like, whenever I post, I want my fans to know that they are getting the best quality things that I can put out. And if I start putting like, oh, here's a good one, but here's some crap ones on the side kind of a thing, like because I just need to get content out there. That's where you actually hurt your channel, because each time that happens, fans don't know if they're going to be getting a good quality edit or they're going to be getting just a crap post. So you got to be very cautious with how you post your stuff on TikTok. YouTube, I will only do that if something goes by and it's just not relatable anymore. Like just the other day, I had a video where it was like, hey, here's a schedule that we plan on doing, and here's a new series idea. No one really fell on the series idea. And so I just privated that video because I was like, it's not even, there's no point of having it up anymore. Twitch, I've never really done that with Twitch. It's kind of live. It's me. Haven't really done anything that I'm just like, oh, I better take that down unless before someone watches and then I get in trouble type of thing. No, I luckily have been super safe and I've tend to steer away from those issues a lot. So yeah, I really only do it with TikTok.
Okay, that makes sense. When you are going through your content creation journey, good days, bad days, what is your absolute favorite part of your entire thing, of your entire creation model?
Oh, dude, why do you have to give me the hardest question for me to answer? Come on. That's not an easy one because I love so many aspects of it. Oh, yeah. I'll go with the very first thing that came to my mind.
Perfect.
And that is just the beginning. It's more of seeing everything all come together. Because it's crazy to me that something on, like, I sit down and I write out a script on Google Docs and it's just there. Everything's just in words with a script and things just tell me how things should look. And then I sit down and I storyboard things. I get some shots and how some shots should look. And it's like, oh, wow, those words are now in picture. And then we start filming and we start saying those lines. We start getting those shots. And it's like, wow, now those are on a video. We have video of us doing it. And then I love editing, but it's also very tedious. And I think all video editors can agree with that. I love sitting down and I just love watching it just all come together. Like, okay, now here's this. Now I'm putting that together. Cool. Like now I have to go into Photoshop and I have to create a body cut in half with the bone sticking out for the Among Us sketch. And now I have to like go in and Photoshop my faces on all of the like the voting screen of everything. Oh, it's just, I love seeing it all come together. And then when you finally get that last edit done on like on a certain area of your video project and you go back and you rewatch and you see it all come together. It's just like such a satisfying moment. Cause you're like, yes, this is what I'm picturing. And now it's done. I think, yeah, just having it, just seeing from where it started to where it ends is like my favorite thing.
Awesome. Now, the flip side of the same question, what is the more challenging aspect of your content that you face?
I find acting it out is the most challenging. And I think that could be a general thing for everyone because to me, I have my style of comedy. I know how to run my style of comedy. I know how I'd edit it and everything. I know how certain physical aspects should look in the video. And so it could be rough filming a lot of the time because I'll go back and rewatch the footage and just be like, nope, that's not right. We got to do it again. I have to do this. And then we'll do it. I think I got it. I'll go back. And I realize I didn't get it. And so it's just constant going back and forth or like some facial features are wrong. things like that, or just during filming, something you'll catch just will ruin the shot. Like, for instance, my buddy and I, when we were doing the, I'm talking about the Among Us sketch a lot, just because it's just what we just got done doing. And it's what I'm focused on right now. And so my mind's just focused on that. There's a part where the warlock and the ranger are sitting down and they're talking. My buddy is delivering his lines. And I didn't realize I did this, but I mouthed his lines with him. And I went, no! Oh, I can't believe I did that. So, like, instead of seeing the full shot, you'll get, like, a random zoom-in shot on my buddy's, like, ranger person, because I'm trying to not have people notice. I'm mouthing the words with it. And I'm just like, oh, dang it, man. So, definitely the filming aspect is the most challenging part out of it all.
Gotcha. One of the big things with content creation is definitely looking to your peers and other content creators to, you know, to make sure you're staying up with trends, to make sure that you're staying up with your production level. Who are some of the content creators across any platform that you personally follow for content ideation?
Okay. Yeah. So there's a few, and they're mostly all on YouTube. Just because that's what I grew up on, and I'll watch them, how they do things. And it's just, that's kind of where I base all my stuff on. Like, so my comedy videos is the most important one, and people will notice a very similar design with the videos. I don't know if you've heard of Tom Ska, but he's the one who makes the ASDF videos, and he makes those videos, and he also does like a bunch of other sketches. I fell in love with his style of editing and his, like, his camera angles and things like that. I thought it was super well done, and I just fell in love with the style. So I implemented some of my style from Tom Ska, and I think it's funny, and I think it just brings another element of comedy into it. So that's where I got that from. Some of the editing tips and tricks that I enjoy doing. Markiplier. I watch a bunch of Markiplier stuff, and I watch, I can't think of his editor's name, but he just has an editor, and I love what the editor does at times. And when we start posting sessions again, we're going to be doing a different way how we post sessions on YouTube. We're going to be posting them in episodes, and just the way his Markiplier's editor edits his stuff, just it makes the video that much better. And just like the little things it does is just hilarious. And so I'm going to go in and implement some of that stuff into to our sessions. So it makes the sessions a lot more fun to watch than you're seeing eight people just talk and nothing really happens. And so I'm going to be implementing that. And I also watch a guy. Now, this is really bringing the nerd out of me. I watch a guy named Leonhart, and he pulls Pokemon cards. And his style of just like talking and the feel he has is just something I really try to attribute to, because he is just very welcoming. Every video he has, he's always thanking his audience. He's always showing the appreciation. He's always trying to make his content better than the other one. And I try to do that a lot into my Twitch streams, and just kind of have that happy go lucky attitude, always making everyone try to feel good when they jump in. There's like, obviously a lot of this, I shouldn't say, like, I'm totally like, I see these guys and I'm like stealing their stuff and putting it up. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's like more of, I've always kind of had that stuff within me, but watching them and seeing how they've handled all of their things has just made that part of me more, I don't know if amplified's the right word, but it brought it out of me a lot more. And so it's just like, oh yeah, that's something I enjoy doing. I'm going to make sure I could do it a bit. Like, I'm going to show that more in this video. So those are the content creators that I look up to a lot.
Gotcha. And it's, they say, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And I mean, you see it across all of content creation. People like to borrow each other's styles, and they like to borrow trending editing styles. Or like on Twitch, everybody was like, oh, I'm going to do green screen. And then the next week, nobody had green screens. Everybody had, you know, very nice cameras with deep set backgrounds. So it's cool to see that those are the people that you look to. And I think Tom Scott is, aren't they doing like an actual like movie? Did I see something about that not too long ago?
I don't know. I love him and his content, but he has a second channel where he describes a lot of what goes on in his personal life, and he has a lot of just like he has a lot of mental issues he has to face within his life, and it affects his content creation a lot. And so you'll see him in the second channel be like, "Yeah, I announced we're doing this, but then depression and it never happened." And that's just his kind of style or things like that. So he'll literally say that in his videos a lot. And it's sad, but it's also very like genuine that with him being a big content creator like he is, he's very open about things and he's not going to tell people like, "I just never got to it, blah, blah, blah." He just says like, "Hey, I got really sad and nothing happened." So there's that.
Awesome. I mean, I respect the hell out of that because we need a lot more of that, especially in content creation. So, you know, it's nice to hear that. Now, when your posts are live, your videos are live, your everything is circulating the globe, when you start getting the flow of comments, "Oh, this is so funny. Ha ha ha. I died. I cried." There's always the, you know, the darker side of it, especially on YouTube. YouTube just seems to be the flame for the moths of naysayers.
Right.
When you get negative criticism, does it impact you? Does it ever make you second guess what you're doing or come back with a fire and prove them wrong?
I'll see the negative, like at first, the negative comments, it was like one, and it's very true. Every content creator will say like, you will get 1,000 amazing comments saying they love your video. And then you'll just see that one comment of someone being like, "I didn't really like it." And it just sticks with you. And it sucks. It does. And when I first started creating, I would see things like that. And it would just be like, "Oh man, this sucks. I'm not a good comment. I'm not a good content creator because this one person, even though like 30,000 people liked my post, this one person didn't like it. So that means I suck," type of thing. But now that I've been into it for a while, it's been more of, I don't know if I've like counteracted it in any way, but I've definitely like trolled myself with just getting it out of the way. So like there will be some people who will be like, "You know, I'm getting really tired of the bar jokes," type of a thing. And I'll just comment on there just like, "Yeah, I am too," type of thing. "But I'm sorry, I got to keep doing it because that's what people outside of D&D know. And my thing is to make D&D content that everybody can understand. So everyone knows the horny bard." And it's like, "Sorry, I'm a little tired of it too, but this is the only thing that everyone really knows about it." I'll just say things like that. And then like on TikTok, there was someone put on there, "Hey, could you make a immortality potion and make it funny?" Right as I posted it, I went to my comment section and I just like roll in like troll, "This isn't funny." And I just said, "Ha, beat you all to it," type of a thing. And so it's just like, I try to beat the trolls before they like go and troll me, type of a thing. But the place you never, ever, 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 ever you want to go into, and especially look at the comments, is iFunny. My stuff has been featured on iFunny so many times without my knowledge. A lot of other people will go and steal my content, put it on there. And I just have no use for iFunny. Generally, I just don't know how it works. It just pictures show up and people laugh. So, but I remember a lot of people were like, "Yo, your stuff is being shown on iFunny. Go check it out." And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "I wonder what people are saying about it." And like my stuff does fairly well. I get a lot of good things about it. But there's a lot of people who were in my high school who still look at iFunny. And I have found out that many people in my high school did not like me because just some of the comments that they put. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And then I look back at it and I'm like, I could see why you probably didn't like me. I was definitely the weird kid going in. A little bit of backstory. I was homeschooled and my parents went through a nasty divorce. And so I was having to go to court and everything. It was nasty. So when I went to school, I didn't know how to interact with people. It was very strange. And I don't think I finally clicked in my head on how to actually be like a normal student until I was in junior and senior year of high school. And that's where I felt like people really started like to be around me, everything. And so I see a bunch of these comments from people and I know who some of them are. But it's just like, oh, well, that sucks. But you know what? I don't really talk to them anymore. And I shouldn't let their opinion destroy me because I was really never even close to them in the first place. And it's just one person who knew me personally from a time where I was very weird and awkward. And so,
well, you were a completely different person back then, too. So that's unfortunate. Like, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, they decided to make digs about it, but, you know,
It's fine. I mean, looking back at it, looking at my past self, I'm like, oh, no, you had every right to make fun of me. Like, I was a weird kid.
Well, then a lot of times, you know, a lot of that just stems from jealousy. We all interact with influencers in some degree, and everybody has had the moment of like, oh, I could be a fishing influencer. Or I could be a yoga pants influencer. And, you know, they take the stab and just it's not cut out for them. So a lot of that does stem from some kind of jealousy. So,
right
now, one of the things we've kind of touched on throughout this conversation is D&D is mainstream now.
Yes.
Like just how wild of a concept. So I started playing, I was back in high school. I got brought into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd even say it, and it was a dirty word. Like you would tell some of your friends, they're just like, oh, well, that party you were invited to on Saturday, it's just not happening anymore. Like, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, you have a TikTok video with 1 million views. And likes, and it's incredible. When you were growing up, did you ever hear about D&D or have any connotation to it?
Yes, I heard about D&D, and I am I'm a Christian, and so me growing up and hearing about D&D was I heard it was the devil. I've heard that multiple times, and I was like, oh my gosh, and then playing it now, it's like, where did people think that? This is like so much fun. Like, I can see where people, because like the warlocks, right, and they have patrons to the devil and things like that, devil bad, but it's just all make-believe. It's all just fun and games, just playing Dungeons and Dragons. And so, yes, I heard of D&D before, but I heard it was of the devil and I wasn't allowed to touch it. But now it's just more of people like, oh no, those were the crazy Christians who give everyone a bad run of everything. It's actually like majority of Christians will probably play this game type of a thing.
It's ironic because the gentleman that brought me into the game was a Christian and his parents were, it's of the devil mindset.
It's like, what the crap?
So now that you've really acclimated in the space, I mean, you're technically kind of a face of D&D now. Like, it's weird to slap that moniker on anybody. What are your feelings towards the future? I mean, we've got Critical Role coming out with an animation. You have every single day, there's more references in TV shows, Stranger Things, for example. Like, how does that make you feel?
Oh, man, it's a very cool feeling. Like, it's just like literally the pandemic made D&D popular. It really did, because everyone was like, what do we do? And everyone's like, well, there's this thing called D&D. We should get into it. And just D&D blew up with the pandemic because it was something for people to do. And it gave you something to forget about what was going on with the world at the moment. It definitely excites me, but it also scares me at the same time as a content creator whose sole purpose is the dragons. Will I probably branch out into like more fantasy type things in the future? Maybe, but I think I'm going to just stay focused with D&D because that's where I built my audience from. But I am nervous that with the huge fluctuation of people coming in, we're just going to fall back into what the gamers are doing with YouTube and Twitch. Everyone's going to be like, I want to stream a D&D game because I think people would really enjoy it. And it's going to be really fun. And we're all different. The story's different. And like, no one's really doing it because it's such a small community. And when a lot of people think that way, it's just going to fluctuate and it's just going to grow big and everyone's going to get lost. And so what I'm trying to do right now is trying to set up a certain aspect that will make me different from all the other creators. Like right now, it's very hard to start up with D&D. It really is probably the hardest thing on Twitch and YouTube because Critical Role dominates. Like, they straight up dominate Twitch and their streams and the D&D fans. They dominate because they went in and they did everything correct the very first time. I'm still surprised a lot of D&D people don't know who Critical Role is because they're just so big. But I talked to a Critical Role fan. And he was like, oh yeah, I spend like 8 hours a week watching their stuff. And I'm like, oh, no wonder like streams don't do well for D&D creators because people are too busy watching Critical Role.
Right.
And they don't want to spend another 3 to 4 hours watching some other person. That is 12 hours out of the week just solely focused on D&D. I shouldn't say anything because my job is about D&D. But anyway, like the average people, that is a lot of time. And so what I'm trying to do right now is with my sessions, the main purpose why I'm called One Shot Questers is I wanted to make every session a one shot so new people can join in and they can see a new session, a new story, new characters each time, and they don't have to like watch previous stuff to know what's going on. And it worked. It really, really worked. We, season one, we'll call it, is where I did that. And that gets so much attention on my YouTube channel. And we're trying to do what everyone else is doing, trying to do like a big campaign for season two, because a lot of people, it was offered and I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And it's just like, no, there's like no extra views coming in with those. And it's just because it's just long. People have to spend so many hours to see what's going on with it. And so what I'm trying to do at the moment is trying to set myself apart by going back to just doing one shots. Every session's one shot. We'll have returning characters for people to still like, get excited for, but it'll be in a setting where new fans can jump in and still fall in love with what's going on and with the story and continue to jump on the others. And then on YouTube, we're going to launch those episodes or those sessions into episodes on YouTube. So they're only like 20 minutes. We cut out the parts where there's just like some not very important talking where people are shopping and it's just like cutting that out and just doing that on YouTube. That way people are like, okay, they have something new each week to watch. And if you're new, well, you don't have to watch those previous ones. You can just watch these new ones coming out. And I'm very excited. It's great. I'm also nervous. So I'm trying to set myself apart from everyone else already.
Fair enough. Now, when you're doing your one shots, are you bringing on guests or is it a core group that you normally focus with?
I did that at first, like when we were super small and we had like 5 people watching us. And now when I really advertise it, we can get up to 150 people watching us. And it's like, sweet. I did allow fans to jump on, which was a ton of fun. Had a good fun with like each and every one of the fans. They were great. The problem I ran into is a lot of people would stick around and watch. And then when they got on, they would leave and I wouldn't see them again. And so I was like, OK, we're stopping type of a thing. And then as I did it, I found a lot of people who really took a lot of interest in being in the group and they put in more effort. And I asked them to be one of my core people. And so if you watch any of the things on season two, those are my core people. Sadly, I had to let one of my core people go because we're good friends. We just don't work great as a player and a DM. And that happens. It really does happen. So, but we have an extra spot open, which will now allow us to bring in guests like other D&D TikTok creators, other creators on YouTube, things like that. We could also do like a Patreon raffle giveaway. So whoever wins can be on a one shot with us and play. So we're really excited for the future of all of that. But yeah, it's just I have a core group, but in the future we're probably going to be adding on people.
Very cool. That's exciting. I like collaboration between content creators. So it's exciting to hear. So that's really all the questions that I really wanted to dive into. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover or talk about before we sign off?
I think that's it. Just if there's anyone that's wanting to watch and want to be a content creator, just know that you can literally create content on anything and you will find those people and you just stick with it. Don't let the negative comments get to you. Just keep going. Literally all I have to say is just keep going. You never know what's going to happen the next day. There's multiple times where even I was like, oh, things aren't working. I'm probably just going to like stop. But then the next day things would grow even quicker. And it's just, you got to have that attitude. Just keep pushing. I was at this since 2005 when I was a kid and I worked my butt off to just get here. I put in, I was like eight in 2005. So I've been at this for 15 years trying to get to this point. So it takes a while, but let me tell you, the payoff and the fans and everyone you touch is totally 100% worth it. Just keep going. Don't stop and just continue on with the next.
Beautiful. I have one last question. It just popped into my head.
Okay.
What is your favorite class in D&D?
Okay. I'm always the barbarian. I love the barbarian. Whenever I play with people, they always want to be like the warlock or the wizard or like one of the sorcerers, the squishy people. They always want to be squishy people. And I'm always stuck being the heavy hitter, which is fine. So I absolutely love the barbarian. They're fantastic. They're fun. You can make them. I just think they're fun to role play, honestly, because you can just make them really stupid. I love the barbarian. I also really like the artificer class. I think they are so cool. But if I had the choice, I would always probably go to the barbarian.
All right, Duke. Where can we find you amongst the social ether for your content? Which
you can find me on any platform under One Shot Questers. If you want to see my YouTube, One Shot Questers. Twitch, One Shot Questers. TikTok, One Shot Questers. Instagram, One Shot everywhere. Just if you want to see me on any platform, just search that and you will find me.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to come on, talk about your content, market yourself, and really just have a good conversation. I appreciate you, your content. I'm the host of TikTok. So.
Right, you do that.
You have a great rest of your day.
You do, sir. You do. Well, I guess we'll just chat with you later. I'm not sure. See you later.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.